a lot of the eyewitnesses are very reticent to talk. They received such harsh treatment during the initial event. You know, a lot of them are called crazy or accused of being drunk or high on drugs. Many of them refuse to talk on the record to this day because of the treatment they received then. And one of the ways that we've gone about making the film is to conduct an extensive pre-interview session with each person, where we'll sit down with them, we go over their experience, and it really, the purpose is twofold. It gives them a sense of where we're coming from, and also that we're not there trying to exploit them or make fun of them, and it allows us to ask better questions.
Were you able to go way back to find witnesses from the 1966 period? How far back were you able to go?
We went back and we've interviewed witnesses from the original sightings.
Wow! Now there was one. I haven't seen the documentary yet, and I'm going to. There was one in November of 1966, first sighted by a little boy named Lonnie Button. Is that mentioned at all?
Correct. Right. Yeah, Lonnie Button. And actually, I was going to mention that because it's extremely apropos when going over the Coast to Coast AM website this evening. I noticed on the recently added images, number 3 is Spring Hill Jack.
Yep.
And if you go back and look at the original eyewitness accounts from the sighting on November 12th of 1966, it says they saw a brown human shape with wings soaring from behind the trees and flying over their heads. Now, this happened to 5 men who were working on a grave in a cemetery. So,
jeez.
I mean, the cover of the serial, the Penny serial, is basically, you know, dead on for that description from the November 12th signing.
And, you know, you have to weigh, would 5 guys working in a cemetery make this up? Would it be an illusion? Were they so scared about something else that their minds tricked them? I don't know. I don't know, Charlie, but I think something happened to them.
Well, you know, it's a natural tendency when we see something that we don't understand to try and attach some sort of logic to it. But for the number of people who have sighted the creature independently to arrive at the same point would seem to be just a little too coincidental.
There's a story, November 15th of that same year, 66. Two young married couples, they were on a late night drive. They passed a West Virginia ordnance works. It's an old abandoned World War II TNT factory. And they noticed two red lights in the shadows by an old generator plant. So they stopped the car. They went, hey, let's see what this is all about. Startled to discover that the lights were, what they say, glowing red eyes of a large creature shaped like a man, but bigger, 6.5 to 7 feet tall, and they all say, and this is what's fascinating, big wings folded against its back.
Right.
What can it be?
Yeah. What indeed? Yeah, that was Roger and Linda Scarberry and Steve and Mary Millette who had that signing. We actually we interviewed Linda Scarberry pretty extensively for this, and she has an extended segment in the movie, and she is so terrified to this day. We actually took her back to the site where it occurred at. We went in the afternoon on a nice, bright, sunny day. She was still just absolutely terrified and ill at ease to be there.
You could see that on her? Was she kind of shaking?
Yeah, absolutely you can. I mean, that plays on screen. She was literally shaking. Yeah.
What do you think, your best guess, and we're going to get into your documentary here, but what do you think they saw, Charlie?
Well, you know, there are a lot of theories out there, and they range, you know, anywhere from some of the pollution left over from the West Virginia Ordnance Works somehow seeped into the wetlands there in the area called the TNT, and it's called the TNT because that's what they manufactured during World War II. They manufactured trinitrotoluene. its actual name now is the McClintock Wildlife Area. And it's just that. It's a, like a large wildlife management area. You can hunt and fish and all that stuff. But there are certain portions of it that are absolutely polluted with these chemicals that are left over. And so, you know, part of the theory that some people have is it possible that this is a mutation of some sort?
Can we rule out some guy running around in a costume with wings?
Yeah, I believe we can. Some of the actions taken by the creature, mainly its ability to fly. There are also stories of it leaping from the ground to the top of the North Power Plant on the TNT site. Now, that was four stories high. So I don't think it's going to be a man. And as far as the chemical pollution thing, I'm not so sure about the idea of it being a mutation either. I don't really think that holds much water because it, you have to remember between World War II and, well, the end of World War II when the plant shut down and the first sighting, it was only about 20 years.
What about a big bird, though, Charlie? Is that possible? Either a thunderbird, you've heard about those
huge birds.
Or maybe one of these large owls that people have reported seeing. Is that possible?
Right. Well, it could be. They've talked about the owl also. They've talked about a sandhill crane. But the problem with those descriptions, excluding the thunderbird right now, is the size. These birds are simply not that large. The sighting reports talk of a creature between 6 and 9 feet tall.
That's a pretty big bird.
That would be a doggone big bird, with a wingspan in excess of 10 feet.